You're listening to the Sunday Show Tunes podcast. I'm Paul.
And I'm Robbie. Stay tuned because this week we'll be chatting with Broadway star and the voice of Pocahontas, Judy Kuhn, about the brand new recording of Stephen Sondheim's Assassins.
And that's not all. We'll be finding out more about the UK revival of Zorro from Mark Pickering. Recording of classic stage companies, acclaimed off-Broadway, star-studded revival of Stephen Sondheim and John Weidman's Assassins has just been released. We are thrilled that Judy Kuhn, who plays Sarah Jane Moore, is with us now. Hi, Judy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
We are thrilled to have you back on Sunday Show Tunes after such a long time. It's just really exciting to have you, and for such a great reason. Tell us about this revival of Assassins. It was nearly stopped in its tracks back in 2020 by COVID. Just tell us about that.
Yes, it was. Well, we were in our second week of rehearsals when we sort of saw the storm clouds gathering in the distance and coming towards us. And, you know, people started saying, oh, should we be taking the subway? Like, what? We didn't really understand what was happening. And then I think it was the Thursday of that second week, they announced that gatherings over 500 people were banned, and so Broadway shut down. And then we were like, oh, that can't be good. Anyway, we left rehearsal on that Friday, and we were told that they were going to take a few days to figure out what to do, and that what we would probably do is for the next couple weeks come in small groups, like work two-handed scenes or little groups of people working on music or whatever. For a couple of weeks, they'd postpone the first preview. So we left that day thinking we were going to be back the following week, but of course, 19 months later, we were being given a rehearsal schedule. So it was what can I say? Everybody knows in the theater what a crazy, scary time that was. And, you know, especially for small nonprofits in New York City, there's a fear that a lot of them, if it went on too long, the shutdown, that they wouldn't be able to reopen. And the way theater is financed here is a little different from the way it's financed where you are. Fortunately, though, the government did offer subsidies to these theaters, and it was one of the things that saved companies like Classic Stage. So then 19 months later, John Doyle, who directed the show and also is now the outgoing artistic director of the theater, counted the number of days. I can't remember how many, but it was a lot of days. And it was amazing to come back to it, because in that intervening time, that the show became even more relevant.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because the staging, particularly of the final scene, couldn't have been what it was before because of the America's insurrection on January 6th.
Right.
What was that like?
Well, you know, it was interesting because the show was originally scheduled to happen during the presidential election year. And so I remember thinking when we shut down that it was so sad that we weren't going to be able to do it in an election year anymore. And then January 6th happened, and I thought, wow, the show just became really so much more relevant. And the show is sort of, first of all, it's hard to believe that it was written more than 30 years ago. They seem to predict what our country was going to be like right now. But it sort of is a show that kind of holds a mirror up to this country and this culture. And I think that people now are ready for it and can see, understand it better. And I really do think the show is better. That it was better that we did it after the shutdown than before. I think John rethought a lot about how to stage it. he incorporated masks into the show because that had become a cultural and political flashpoint, but it also had a meaning that seemed very important to the characters and to the audience, made us one with the audience because they were all wearing masks. In the final scene, he used an image from that day on January 6th. which really was, I think somebody who saw it very early on said that they had become, they started to really feel empathy and sympathy for all these assassins. And then that picture went up.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought, oh, wait a minute. They're the same people.
Yes.
And if I feel sympathy for these assassins, I have to feel sympathy for those people who were beating up police officers and mm-hmm. shouting, hang Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of brought to home, I think, what that kind of political violence it is, and trying to understand where it comes from. And, you know, all they those assassins shared a lot of the same anger, resentments, economic stress, racism, this feelings of being left out, unheard, all those things that can motivate that kind of political violence. And I think it was really kind of startling to people to see this show right now.
Absolutely. And Mr. Sondheim was still with us, thankfully, and was able to see the production.
Yes.
Truly one of the last shows of his that it was that in company. What was that experience for you? Because you've worked with Steve a few times.
Yeah, well, you know, ours was the last opening of one of his shows that he mm-hmm. was able to attend. And he had twisted his ankle a few weeks before and mm-hmm. hadn't come to any of our previews, had been communicating with John Doyle. They did a live feed of our dress rehearsal because he always likes to be at dress rehearsals so that he could at least watch and give some notes.
Mm-hmm.
But he did make it to our opening and he sat in the front row. I tried very hard not to look over at him because it's a very tiny theater. Everybody there. I'll tell you, that was one of the advantages to having our audience masked, because I don't recognize people when they're wearing masks very well. So I never knew who was there, and that mm-hmm. was really helpful. But we knew exactly where he was, which he was in. But everybody reported that he was laughing and crying and applauding and really having a great time. And then I hosted a little gathering afterwards because the theater wasn't allowed to have an opening night party. So I hosted a gathering at I have a big loft, and he came and he sat on the couch and he held court and he drank wine and he told stories and he looked happy and was having, he just seemed in his element and seemed so happy. And it's just like, that is a thing I will always treasure. That
what a memory.
That of course is the last time we saw him.
Wow.
I mean, our company saw him, so.
And then, of course, the production had to shut down early. So we got to at least...
That was me. That was my fault.
Oh. No one's pointing a finger, Judy.
My husband got... You know, we were so careful. I barely saw my daughter the whole run. I mean, I was so careful the whole time. And the week before our last week, my husband got COVID. And then a few days later, I got COVID. And then I gave it to half the company. And they had to shut down a week early. It was so sad. I felt so terrible.
Which meant that you didn't have a proper closing, but
right.
We got to preserve the album.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of like a full circle coming back to it and giving it that goodbye. What was the album process for you like?
Well, I mean, you know, making a cast album is always incredibly exciting because, you know, that's the thing about the theater is, as opposed to film or television, is it's here today and gone tomorrow and it lives in people's memories. And that's the way to preserve it, is by doing a cast album. Mm-hmm. I just feel very proud of the work that we did on the show and I'm really happy it's preserved. Also, you know, Greg, our music director, did new arrangements.
Mm-hmm. Which are wonderful.
Which mm-hmm. they're fantastic. And the texture that they give the show of this sort of seedy carnival kind of atmosphere of it are just, it's, he did such an incredible job. So I'm really happy for him in particular that those arrangements are going to be heard by more people.
I hope they live on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Me too. I mean, there are so many people who wanted to see the show and didn't get mm-hmm. to. So I think it's great for them.
I'm hopeful it may have a future life. That's what I'm hoping. You know, I'm hoping, fingers crossed. We all have
our fingers crossed that might happen.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Judy, we are sadly out of time. And yeah, I know. There's so much more.
Sorry.
No, you need to come back. I mean, it's always lovely chatting with you on the show. And yeah, come back soon and talk more to us just about everything, because it's always lovely.
Judy has so many wonderful albums out that you should listen to. Her Julie Stein album is a particular favorite of mine. Aww. And Assassins is out now and available on Broadway Records. So great.
Stay safe. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you both.
Gypsy King's musical Zorro will return to the London stage in a newly reimagined production opening on April the 12th. The production follows a 2020 run at Manchester's Hope Mill Theatre that was cut short after just two preview performances. Mark Pickering plays Garcia in the show, and he's with us now. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hello there. How's it going?
Yes, good. We're good. Tell us about Zorro, and how does your character Garcia fit into it?
So, yeah, I play Sergeant Garcia. And he is obviously the sergeant to the new reinstated alcalde, which is Ramon, which is Diego, is Diego's brother. And since Don Alejandro, the previous alcalde, has gone missing, presumed dead, Ramon has taken over, and the pueblo is not what it used to be. Ooh. And he runs it with a. A real strictness, and none of the people are happy. And Sergeant Garcia is basically his sergeant, and he's not the best authoritative figure in the pueblo. Is Sergeant Garcia? He wants to have the authority over the people, but he's very lovable and he's got a lovely heart. So the jobs that Ramon gets him to carry out, his heart's not really in it, because he feels like he's mistreating the people.
And you've got the Gypsy King's music to sing.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I hadn't heard the music before, really. I mean, obviously a few of the Gypsy King songs.
I was like, where have you been?
Bambaleo. Yeah, well, Bambaleo and Baila Baila May. But yeah, it's fantastic music. It really gets you in the mood, you know, and I'm excited with this immersive version of it, with these, you know, beautiful actor musos that we've got in this show that are just so talented. I mean, it's one thing to like learn all the words and learn all the dance moves, but to play the violin to another rhythm that your feet are doing is just, you know, incredible. So it's sounding really good in the room so far. We're 3 days away, I think, from going into tech. I get told what to do, where to show up. But we start tech on Wednesday.
Now, Charing Cross Theatre is a really interesting space because the audience is on both sides. What's it like doing a show in that sort of environment?
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, because for me, it's going to be a new experience. I must say, I've done the round a few times, but proscenium most of the time. So we're trying to get used to it in this church that we're in at the moment. And it's proving quite a challenge, because, you know, some of the times only one side of the audience is getting you and the other side is getting the back. So you've got to do a lot of back acting, but we're trying to stage it in a way where, you know, the majority can see you most of the time. So it's going to be a challenge, I think, but I'm looking forward to it.
You're new to the cast. You went with the production in Manchester, but what's it been like as a team remounting the show that literally made it for two previews?
Yeah, I found that fascinating, the fact that these guys have done it before, especially Christian, our director, because he's been with it, you know, from day dot, really, 2008. So he's got so many versions of the show in his head, and obviously Cress coming in to choreograph, you know, she's incredible. But what I appreciate about them both is they're taking a new, they're giving it a new focus, they're giving it a new life. They're not just rehashing what they've done before. I mean, there's a few bits in there that they liked and they're keeping, but they're not, you know, they're not directing us to do exactly what previous people did. Other actors did in the previous show. So it does feel, dare I say, like an organic, you know, new revitalized version of what they've done before, which is very exciting.
Mm. There was a lot of sword fighting and stuff in Zora. I guess you have to be extra careful if there's audience all around.
That's true, actually. Yeah, the way these swords poke out as well, we were just finding in rehearsal, we were like, oh, we should probably start using swords, shouldn't we, in rehearsals, just, you know, in our belts in case they get caught on a stool or a skirt or something. And it's, yeah, it's proving quite difficult. But the choreography for the fighting is incredible. And we just had a little run through this morning, actually, to show speed. And it's really, yeah, it's right there in your face. So it's quite shocking, but really thrilling and exciting.
And what have you found most exciting about the rehearsal process?
Just being in this, like, it really is like a band of gypsies, but real life, because everyone's playing the instruments and things, you really feel like you're part of this troupe. And that's how the show starts, is as a bunch of storytellers telling the story of Zora.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't have to use your imagination that much, because it is all happening in front of you. And I'm just very excited to do this whole run with these guys, with these talented people. And I think, you know, the show will become its own, you know, once press night's over and Christian lets us just play with it. And I think it's going to be real fun to come into work every night.
We can't wait to see it, Mark. We're going to let you get back to rehearsals, but thanks so much for taking time out.
You're very welcome, guys. Thanks for having me. All the best.
Bye.
Bye.
Zara is playing at London's Charing Cross Theatre from the 2nd of April to the 28th of May. For tickets and more information, head over to charingcrosstheatre.co.uk.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'd like to say a huge thank you to Mark Pickering and Judy Kuhn for joining us.
If you've enjoyed listening, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite listening platform.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Robbie.
And you've been listening to the Sunday Show Tunes podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Bye.